This episode of Voices of the Elephant is sponsored by DayCamp for Developers. Listen for a special offer at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, we're here today at Microsoft's SQL Server Jump-In Camp, and I've got Matthew Weiro-Finney, the Chief Architect of Zen Framework, and Ralph Sindler. Ralph, what's your title at Zen Framework?
Software engineer.
And we're going to talk today about dependency injections, because that's become a hot topic recently in the PHP community, especially with framework authors and those using the second generation of frameworks are coming in. So I'm going to start off with a question to you, Matthew. Exactly what is dependency injection?
So dependency injection is nothing new, really, and it's a lot of people are actually using it without necessarily terming it that. And it's really just the idea of each object has a specific role that it plays, and you then compose different objects together. So say, for instance, we have a database mapper is going to compose a database adapter. And so instead of it, you know, instantiating the adapter within the class itself, you pass in the adapter into the database mapper at that point. So it's something that, you know, people are actually familiar with. A lot of the frameworks already are capable of DI. But then we have probably the more interesting question, and the one that most of us are tackling within the version 2 frameworks, is that of dependency injection containers. And that's where things get a little bit more interesting in many regards.
Well, Ralph, do you got anything to add, since you're heavily involved in this with Zen Framework? Anything about dependency injection in general?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that there's probably a lot of background behind this entire topic. Matthew did an original prototype for Zen Framework, and then I had come behind him, and I did some add-on features, and then we looked at both of those things together and said, okay, now how can we refactor this to make it a more cohesive component? But in my learnings, I mean, I can give you the 30-second history. So basically, we had, in the beginning, it was functions. Then we got classes, so we wrapped all our functions in a class. And most of this was just loosely concerned functions, like we had a database class, which had a whole bunch of things that were just interrelated to databases in general. Beyond that, it started looking like we had statics, so most of those functions became statics. And now, here we are, everything needs to be an object, or at least that's the best practice. So now we're worried about how do we make our objects play nice together. So that's the 30-second history. When you look at other ecosystems, other programming communities, they've kind of solved the problem in their own ways, and they have a lot of facilities to do, like the Java world and the .NET world particularly have well-established dependency injection models and dependency injection containers. So having to look at those communities has been pretty instrumental in figuring out what does it need to look like in PHP, which is an interpreted language which poses its own problems in and of itself. So that's over the past month, I would say 2 months, that's the gambit of all the things that we had to go look at and understand so that we could build a component that's worthy of, you know, performance understanding for the average PHP developer to utilize.
And I think the part that you know, like I said, dependency injection, I think is actually a concept, you know, a lot of people can grasp the idea. The dependency injection container, though, is something that's a little bit harder to grasp. And really the idea here is that I pull an object out of the container and it's got all of the objects wired in at that point. So when we have you still have to define that somewhere. And you know, basically what we've been working on is how do we do those definitions in a way that is easy for the developers but also easy to use and perform it. And we've got different tools for that as well. But you still have to define that somewhere. And I think that's the part that a lot of people see DI containers and go, oh my gosh, this is magic. You know, I don't like this. It's like, I thought you guys were moving away from magic and going to explicit. And really, it is explicit. You're saying, okay, in this particular use case, I need these particular dependencies. And, you know, it might be down a tree several layers deep. And once you get that far, then you know you get everything wired up and you have this one object that composes everything it needs at that point. The use case that we were looking specifically at, it's very interesting because Ralph and I were just really big opponents to DI containers for really you know our entire history with Zen Framework. But there was a use case that we were running across that we were really trying to figure out how do we answer this. And when you look at an MVC framework, your controller really is kind of like the central thing. It's doing this wiring together. It's saying, you know, I want to get this model or I want to interact with this view or whatever. And the problem that you come up with is how does the controller get its dependencies? And in Zen Framework 1, a lot of early code, you were hard coding that in there. You were saying, you know, new such and such class and, you know, calling methods. And you might grab some configuration from a registry or from elsewhere. With Zend Application, we started, you know, moving some of that up into the Bootstrap class. And you could then pull your Bootstrap into the controller and pull resources out of it. But those were then getting instantiated, interpreted every single request, regardless of whether or not it was getting used on that particular request. So now we have a performance issue that's involved. But then it's also like this is, I have to go and grab my invoke args, grab the Bootstrap out of that, grab a resource out of this, and it's actually very convoluted. And when you start looking at that, there's a lot of boilerplate code still because you still have to get to the dependency somehow. What dependency injection says with a container, what it says is, when I pull this object out, it's going to have all the dependencies wired based on definitions that I've created. So when we're trying to look at, you know, how does a controller get this information, it's like, you know, actually this is really what a DI container is for. And so we can add routing time, we know the controller, we can pull the controller out, and now it has all its dependencies, and then we dispatch it and we're done. And so you actually have a very lightweight request because you're only instantiating what you need for that particular request. And your code becomes much simpler because you know that you've got the dependencies and you just start using them. So you might have setters, you might have constructor arguments that you need in there, whatever. You've defined those in your wiring and you know that you have that information and you can just use it.
Now, where is this wiring stored?
So the wiring, I'll actually turn that over to Ralph. We've got a really comprehensive solution, I think, would be the best way of putting it. But
yeah. Actually, let me back up just a little bit, because basically one of the things that you always have to justify DI first, and one of the reasons why I like to say justify is that you have to look at our philosophy as a framework and say, you know, does this fit within it? And with ZF2, we had the solid principle and the dry principle, and both of those things, DI plays very nicely with those. Solid being particularly the most important part of this is that everything is interface driven. So while we're toting DI as a very, very strong implementation detail, provided you code everything to interfaces, which is generally what we're shipping, DI is just an implementation detail. So you could swap this thing out if you don't want to, if you don't want to use it. So
let me stop you right there. You mentioned solid and the solid principle and the dry principle.
Right.
Would you define those for us just so everybody knows what they mean?
Okay, so both of these are all capital letters. They have their Wikipedia page, but dry is don't repeat yourself. Basically, when Matthew was alluding to boilerplate code, it basically means if you find yourself repeating yourself, which you kind of do in controllers in ZF1, you have to go to the registry, grab something, and then you interact with that with another component, and you do that over and over and over again. The whole principle behind dry, as it relates to DI, is that if you're on a team of individuals, you might want to take some time up front to wire your dependency injection container so that as you're developing and maintaining your project over the next year or two, you're doing less of that in the beginning of a controller setup sort of stuff. You're drying up the load up time for every new control and every new action. So that's where these principles play a part. Solid, on the other hand, that's an acronym, and I'll give you the I guess a couple of the high points. The L is the Liskov substitution principle. The S is single responsibility. And the other, the most important one I think that I was playing on earlier was the I, which is the interface. You want to separate all of the small bits of the implementation into interfaces so that if I were in a situation where I need to stub something out or I need to swap something out with an alternate implementation, I can. So dependency injection is an answer to this philosophy for us. That said, looking at what PHP is and that we have no application state, making this thing performant is always a concern because you're going to be doing a lot of stuff on every request. So when we looked at building ZenDI, there's a myriad of possibilities for building up this, what we call a definition. And really a definition is all of the intricacies about how classes relate to one another. It has nothing to do with like the runtime information, like sticking a username or password into something, but this object relates to this object, it is a dependency, this is how this dependency is injected into this one. It could be through a setter, could be through a constructor, could be through some named method that is defined in an interface somewhere, which is called interface injection. So ideally for us, and one of the things I had noticed in some other projects is that you were having to define all these things in a configuration file, like go grab this class from your autoloader and it's going to have these methods in it, and that got to be really tedious. So the solutions that we came up with were twofold.
Three.
Well, it's probably four or five, but we'll highlight the top two, or the top three.
Yeah.
The first one is that, you can, through an object graph, describe all of your code. And that's the most explicit way of doing it, and it's the most flexible way if you're not using type hinting, if you're not using these patterns that are dependency injection patterns, like setter injection or constructor injection. So that's route number one.
That's the builder.
That's called a builder.
Yeah.
And all the goal here is to always build a definition that you can then share with, if you are a third-party vendor author of code, you share your definition with someone else so that they don't have to go through the steps of wiring the code together. So the second one, which I find really interesting because it's a way of testing your code to see if it's a dependency injectable, is a runtime definition. And it's very, very similar to what you see in the Pico container from the Java community. It basically does everything with reflection. When I say, go get me this object, it'll, at call time, go look at that object, go look at it for setters, injectable interfaces, and say, okay, I need to go get these objects now. And it'll fulfill the call time graph at runtime. That's number two. And the reason I say that's a good one for testing your code is because basically you don't have to do anything. You just point the container at it and it'll try and figure out all dependencies on it. If it can't, maybe you need to re-architect your code. Because if a computer can figure it out, definitely a human should be able to figure it out.
The other nice part about that is it allows you to actually start using the container without doing anything. You just say, I want this class out of it, and it starts basically trying to figure it out for you.
Yeah, I mean, minimally, if you have static or scalar information that you need to get in there, like configuration, what we call instance configuration, that you would have to put that in there, like username and passwords for a service or a database adapter. But it's very, very minimal. It's three or four lines of code, and you have an object that's composed of many, many objects. Lastly, there's a couple of other ones, but basically another route to go is we also created a component called a code scanner, and basically it tokenizes all of your code, and it looks at, in the same way reflection does, it does this basically by looking at all of your code statically. And what this allows you to do is, low-level implementation detail, but reflection requires you to require all of your code into the memory space. With the code scanner, you're looking at tokens, so that class is not actually in your memory space. So if you have third-party code, like, for example, your test extend PHP unit, you don't have to go scan PHP unit to understand what the requirements were in your code. So code scanner goes through, tokenizes, builds your definitions, and then you can store that definition to file in a PHP array.
So code scanner runs at development time, not at runtime.
Typically, yeah.
Yes.
And you would store these and then use them, them on your server and use them for runtime.
Yeah, and then there's also what's called an aggregate definition, and the aggregate definition allows you to basically use any of those strategies together. So typically what you'll do is you'll actually use the runtime strategy that uses reflection. You'll use a code scanner or an array aggregate. So the code scanner will store to the file is what's called an array aggregate at that point, and you can use one of those. And you can also do the builder. And the builder, what's nice with that is you can then define some explicit wirings where you say, I want to use explicitly this implementation and when this interface is called. So basically gives you this nice comprehensive solution that allows you to go from, low-level development tools to, I'm just developing something quickly, to I'm not sure what all dependencies are yet, but I'm going to start using it, that sort of thing. And so when you do that, you get this really nice, you know, playing ground that you can start using the DI container and just start developing against it at that point. What we've also done at this point is the basic interface for a DI container is just get. And you say the service name or the class name, and then optionally some parameters if you want to, you know, specify specific parameters to use when you call it. But the main thing is you get this and then the name of the service. And then you also have configuration that you pass into it so that if there's, you know, like the usernames and passwords and maybe it's a connection string, that sort of thing that Ralph was hinting to before, you'll pass that into the DI container as well. Now, there's another pattern called the service locator that is very similar, but the idea with the service locator is that the objects are already kind of there. It may be that there's explicit methods, or it may be that you actually, you know, pass these objects into the service locator. One of the nice things about a service locator is you get type hinting, you get all sorts of stuff right off the bat with it. But the other part is it's explicit, and so it's something that you can look at and understand just looking at it, how the wirings happen. So for performance reasons, we built a generator that will generate a service locator off of the current dependency injection definition you have. And what's great about this is then you can develop that, you can generate that for your production. And then instead of using the DI container, you use the service locator. Service locator, because it's just a class with methods, everything's hard-coded in there. What you can do is you get opcode caching of that, and you've got type hinting against it. It's really easy to look at a debugger and find out what happened, what's the code path that got you there. And so you have something that's really performant at that point. So now we've got this comprehensive builder, you know, definition building solution that lets you do all these great things when you're in development to make you as productive as possible, and then this optimized version for production.
So you're actually generating code that runs in production.
Yes.
But if you have to debug it, you have to come back to the DI container.
Right, or you can look at that and go, oh, okay, this is wrong, and then, you know, fix it in the DI container
and regenerate code. Okay. Yeah. When you say service locator, define the term service for us.
Right. So service is something that you are typically going to be using throughout the application, or really, it's any object you're going to be using.
So service is an object or a class that I'm looking, that's in my application, a model
that I want to utilize.
Like
if you want to draw a parallel to ZF1, we call these things resources.
Okay.
So basically, when you're in a controller, you grabbed your application resource to utilize. In a service-oriented architecture, and this is a way of getting around an anti-pattern in dependency injection, where your container is a dependency of the code that's consuming it. Whereas with a service locator, it's expected that your controller layer takes in the service locator so that it can locate services.
This particular case, the front controller is doing that, and the controllers themselves are considered services.
Hmm.
So that's the fun part here.
Excellent. I guess to wrap it all up, the obvious question, is this available in a prototype for people to look at?
Yes, last week, second or third week of June there. I don't know what the dates are anymore. We released our third development snapshot of Zen Framework 2. So that's actually available for download now. There's a post on DevZone about it. You can also, it's all merged into the master branch of the ZF2 Git repository, so you can pull it from there. That's actually probably the better place because we fixed a few things after getting feedback. And there will be ongoing development that we've, you know, already recognized a few areas where we need to make a few changes and improvements. But yeah, it's available for testing and playing with now.
Okay. Well, we got to wrap it up because it's about to get really noisy in here. Thank you, guys. Appreciate all the time that you spent talking with us today, and thank you for everything you do for the PHP community.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Voices of the Elephant. This podcast is copyright 2011 EICC Incorporated, and all rights are reserved. For more information on the podcast and to nominate someone to be interviewed, visit the website voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT. DayCamp for Developers is a one-day, technology-agnostic online training camp for web developers. We cover the topics that you won't find at any other conference at a price that every developer can afford. Visit our website today, daycamp4developers.com, and reserve your seat for the next class. As a listener of Voices of the Elephant, use the discount code VOTE to save $10 off your ticket. Day Camp for Developers. Invest a day in your career.